Let's look at Philippians 1, verse 27 this morning. Philippians 1, verse 27. It says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Let's read that again in the same version. "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to you and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, and striving together for one faith in the gospel." In the NLT, it says, "Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news." So this is Paul writing to the Philippians and exhorting them. The second part of that verse, he said, "I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith." In the Amplified Classic, it says, "Only be sure to lead your lives in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear about you, that you are standing firm in one spirit and one purpose, with one mind striving side by side as if in combat for the faith of the gospel." I like the way that says it. You're standing firm in one spirit and one purpose, with one mind striving side by side as if in combat for the faith of the gospel. In the CEV, the last part of that verse says, "Whether I visit you or not, I will hear that you are united in spirit and purpose, working together as one for the faith of the good news." Working together as one for the faith of the good news. Let's look at, let's just go a little bit further. Next chapter, Philippians 2, verse 1. I think we'll come back to the verse 27. It says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." So it's just a little bit farther in the same letter he's talking about these. "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." In the Amplified version, that just verse 2 says, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love toward one another, knit together in spirit, intent on one purpose." In the Amplified Classic, it says, "Fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention." Now, he's talking to the church, and this is throughout. We're going to read more scriptures. Talking to the church, and this is throughout, over and over, talking about the mindset, the attitude, the heart attitude, how people are together. And this is throughout the church, local body, throughout the church in general, but throughout the church, you know, a local body. But, you know, same thing in a home. Same thing in any endeavor where you have a group of people. He's talking to the church, but if you're not aligned, if you don't have the same mind, if you're not on the same page, it's hard to go anywhere. It's hard to do anything. It's hard to get anything done. And Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is encouraging them. Look, this is the way, he said, let my joy be full that you do this, that you act this way, that you come together, that you be of one mind. It's said in different ways, and we'll go back to it, but acting as one. We're going to go back to that verse in a minute, but Psalm 133 verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In Deuteronomy 32, 30, it says, how could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them? That gives the picture of one chasing 1,000, but two could put 10,000 to flight. In Ecclesiastes verse 4 or chapter 4 verse 9 in the NLT, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. How can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Giving us a picture of people being together and the power. It's multiplication, not just addition. You know, it said one could do 1,000, ten or two could do 10,000, put 10,000 to flight. Well, you multiply as you're together on the same page doing the same thing. Here in Ecclesiastes, you say, one, there's all kinds of stuff. It's so much easier to do things with another person. There's so many endeavors that you just have one other person, it makes it so much easier. Just carrying something that's long and awkward is so much easier with two people. I mean, if it's light enough and you can get in the middle of it and hold it with one person, but there's just things, you know, if you're going to move something like furniture, to move it with one person, you got to like scoot it here, then go to the other side and scoot it, and then the other side and scoot it, and then the other side and scoot it, versus you got two people, just pick it up and move it, and you're done. So many things you clean, you know, somebody is moving stuff so that you can vacuum or whatever. You can just get it done so much faster. Just, it's done. But you got to be on the same page to do that. You got two people. I mean, the only way it's going to be any better is if you're working in the same direction. If you're working in two different directions, it's worse than one person. We were in the kitchen yesterday, and Shelly was doing some stuff, and I was trying to help at one point. And at one point, she said, just go over there, because she had her space that she's normally working. And I'm like, I want to help you, but I also know you got your way of doing it. And if I get in there, now you're just getting in her way. It's not helping unless she's telling me, okay, you do this and do that. But it wasn't that type of thing. It wasn't going to be a real long thing. So it was more like, I'll just do it. It'll be easier. Now, if I was actually trying to do something else while she was trying to do that, it's counterproductive. I'm not just in the way. I am actually inhibiting her. Right? So two people is not better than one. Unless you're trying to do the same thing and you're on the same page. Three isn't better than one. 18 is not better than one if you got 18 different things. It's worse. It's called chaos. You know, think of a classroom. And you get a classroom, if all the kids are doing different things, nobody's learning. They're not going anywhere. They're not going in a single purpose. They're all doing their own thing. No, it's not better. More is not better. It's better if you're doing the same thing and pushing in the same way. Otherwise, it could be absolutely counterproductive. You know, more horsepower is not better if the horses are pulling in the opposite direction. You know, if you got one horse doing this and another horse doing this and you pull, a lot of bad stuff could happen. The horse that's stronger is gonna eventually win out. But you could break all kinds of things, mess things up. That is not better. How about if you got two horses and they're doing this? One's pulling, you know, so you're directly apart. You're barely, I mean, it's just like if they're equal, it's going to go like this. If you got one that's going to kind of move like this. What if you got two horses and they're lined up, but they're connected and they're running, but one starts doing this? What's going to happen? Well, any number of things could happen, but the thing is, you're not necessarily going ahead. You're going, somebody's trying to go, the horse is going this way, the other horse is going this way, this horse is going to get off course, this horse, you don't know, this horse stays on course, this one's trying to pull him off. If this one then pulls back, this one could fall over, and both of them could fall over. Any number of bad things could happen. That's not helpful. But if you have people going or anything going in the same direction, now all pushing in the same way, that becomes helpful. Paul's saying, that's what I want you to do. He's not saying, I want you to have three minds or 18 minds or 24. He's saying, I want you to have one. Amos 3:3, it says, how can two walk together unless they are agreed? How can you walk together unless you're agreed? How are you going to go in the same direction unless you're agreed on where you're going? Otherwise, you're just taking two separate walks. Again, this is in families. You got two different directions, and husband and wife are pulling in different directions. That's not going to work. And you know, in today's day and age, people are like, well, you know, everybody's got their own way of doing things. So, you know, you just got to figure it out. But it's okay if one person's pulling in this way, they got to do their thing and do their thing. We'll just, you know, maybe it's great if they're kind of going in the same way, but that's just not real life. And so somebody's going to do their own thing and somebody's going to do their own thing. That like the husband's going to do what they're doing. The wife's going to go do what they're going to do. That's not biblical. God made it so that the family unit would be going in one direction. That is the biblical pattern. Of course, in today's age, people are like, there is no biblical pattern. Whatever the family looks like, it's just fine. Now, we understand there's different things that have happened and people, different positions in life, but that doesn't do away with God's design that there's a husband, a wife, and children moving in the same way. It's God's way and God's unit of affecting the earth is the family. And so then when we come together, if that's broken, well, I mean, think about it. If you got that broken and then you come together as a church, well, you already got this going on. And then you have people within the house that's broken, and then in the church it's broken. It's hard to get everybody on the same page. But Paul is encouraging the Philippians here. And in the initial scripture we read, don't be that way. Get on the same page. When you're together with the local body of believers, because we're all supposed to be part of a local body of believers, there's the church universal. But then there is local congregations of believers, and in a congregation of believers, we're supposed to be of one mind, of one heart, going in the same direction. Amen. That is God's will. Let's go back before we go on. Let's look at the verse we started out with and just just see how this says, and then we'll go on a little bit. Go back to, let's just read it in the first translation, New King James, Philippians 1:27. It says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast. Stand fast, not just standing fast, just to stand, you know, you're strong, but not alone. You stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In the NLT, it says, I know that you are standing together with one spirit and with one purpose, fighting together for the faith. So it's everybody together pushing, going in the same direction. In the Amplified, let's look at the second part of that verse. It says, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit and one purpose with one mind striving side by side as if in combat for the faith of the gospel. And I like that imagery because that gives the picture of being next to one another but going forward, shoulder to shoulder. So all in the same direction. And it says as if in combat, because it's not a light thing. The church is not like a club. It's not like, it doesn't really matter. We just come together once in a while and do things, whatever, you know. Thank God we have social events to build relationships, but that's not all it is. That's part. We need to, and we'll see it. You need to have relationships with people. But we're the vehicle. The church is the vehicle on the earth for moving God's plan forward. And so as we're together with a local congregation, we want to be taking it seriously. It's not a light thing. He says as if in combat, because we are in combat. Bible says we don't war in Ephesians 6. We're not going to put it up, but Ephesians 6 says we don't war against flesh and blood. But there you are in a war. Put this up real quick. It's just a few verses down. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Let's go to verse 3. 2 Timothy 2, 3 says, you therefore must, he's talking to Timothy, the Apostle Paul, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. This imagery is there. It's a serious thing. So we don't take it lightly, like, well, it doesn't really matter. No, it matters. He's telling Timothy here, you don't mess around here. He's like, you know, a soldier doesn't mess around with civilian things. He's taking it seriously. You as a soldier, take it seriously, that aspect. The gospel, what you're doing in the body of Christ versus just things out in the world. In other words, you don't get involved in natural endeavors, just getting off on things. Don't let that'd be like a soldier being deployed and then going, well, you know, I feel like a coffee break this afternoon, so I'm going to go down to the local coffee shop and hang out. No, you're a soldier. You can't do that. Well, it's not that we don't enjoy life, and yes, we live in a natural world, and yes, we deal with natural things and deal with all that stuff, but you don't get too involved in it because you're a soldier. We're only here for a while, and we have to have that mindset. And so when we talk about working together, being together in a church, in a local body, we want to have the proper mindset of we are shoulder to shoulder. So if we're in a congregation, we want to be shoulder to shoulder going in the same direction. Imagine a rank of soldiers. And they're supposed to be marching forward, but they're going just in wherever they want to go. That does not work in the military. You'd be put in line really quick. No, that is not an option. That is not desirable, nor is it permissible. Because you have a mission. And so you go forward, what? Together. In other words, pulling in the same direction, going in the same direction, accomplishing the same purpose. And that's what Paul's saying to them. He said, I want you, I want to hear, put up the version of the Amplified again, Philippians 1:27, second part of that. Said, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one. Everybody say one. So one is one. It's not multiple. There's not two. There's not three. There's not eight. You know, there's not all these different things. There's one standing firm in one spirit, one purpose, one mind, striving side by side as if in combat. What? For the faith of the gospel. That's what we're doing. We're doing what the Bible said. So what the Word of God tells us that we're supposed to be doing in as far as the gospel, but as far as living, as far as being the church here on this earth, being representative, that's in our homes, that's in our marriages, that's in our with our children, that's on the job, that's as a church body, that's in relation to other people. What the Word says, we're supposed to be doing that with one mind. There's not another mind. The church is not a business. Amen. The church is not a club. Amen. So you don't have to make up some other purpose. If you're running a business, you got to determine what are we supposed to be doing? Because nobody, you know, what is the business called? What does that mean? You got to define it. Right? What is that? Church or the business supposed to be doing? What are our values? What's our direction? The church is not a business. The church is the called out one of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God defines our purpose. The Word of God defines our mission. The Word of God defines what we're supposed to look like. So you don't have to redefine that. Like we make a mistake, we try to make it something else. Like, well, this is what you know. There's not multiple churches, right? In the body, in the world, there is actually one church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people look at it like, well, we believe this. We believe this. We have a statement of belief based on the Word of God. Not everybody believes the same thing, but there is actually one universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth. But not everybody even adheres to the Bible and they call themselves a church. So you define, look, we believe these things, but it's not supposed to be, we believe this. That's different than what the Bible teaches. It's supposed to be in line with the Word of God. It's not supposed to be something. It's not supposed to be our opinion or our ideal or what we think. It ought to be the Word of God. And you know what? Historically, people say, "Why are all these different denominations and everything happen?" Because of people. Because people are people. You know, historically. You go for a while, you know, you had the Martin Luther putting up the 95 theses, and no, it is by faith. You know, that nothing was accessible, the Word of God wasn't really accessible to the common person, and so it was really blind and gotten in the dark ages. He had a renewal, illumination of that it was by faith that you're saved, not by all these works. Well, that went in a certain direction. There was a certain thing, you know, established, but over time that waned. And so then people are just doing things in form. They're just doing things because that's what they've been taught, but they don't really have. They're not following God the way people before followed God. And it gets to a place where people are like, well, I disagree with this certain thing. And you know what happened? They started a new denomination. And then you'd go for a while, there'd be a move of God, because they would get to the place where people are not following God, but somebody has a revelation of something, and they go on, and they're following God, but then that wanes. And then just kind of get into just a lull. And then people go and they, somebody sees a new truth, and they break off from the one before and go and start their own thing. And then it would just happen over and over and over instead of moving forward. And so that's what's happened over time. So you have all these denominations, all these different groups, but really there's just one church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just one. And so we're supposed to be of one mind and of one heart, according to what the Word of God says, according to a local congregation doing the work of what God said in the Word of God. That's the definition. That's what the Word tells us to do. That's what Paul is telling the Philippians at that church, and that's not the only place. We'll see it, you know, other places. But he's not just telling the Philippian church. He said, this I would want you, but he also said it multiple other places to other congregations, same thing. So they're in a different place doing what God would have them to do there, but it's the same church. It's the same pattern. It still is. So when we fast forward thousands of years later, where we are reading the Bible, it applies to us. The same thing applies to us, that we are to be, if we're going to be together as a congregation, that we want to be unified, going forward in the same direction. For what? For the gospel, for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 2, verse 46. This is the early church. This is what they are doing. Acts 2, verse 46 says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Continuing daily, I think two services is too much a week. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. So they are eating, they are fellowshipping. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. But notice, they continued daily with one accord. They're on the same page, doing the same thing. That's the early church. That's our pattern. That is how the church started. And they are on the same page doing the same thing together. Acts 4:32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. That's a whole other thing. But look, they're in one accord to where everything, they just pulled it together and they lived together. You have to trust people for that. I mean, they were in one accord. Now, we don't live in the same day and age that they lived in a lot of ways. I mean, a lot of things are different. But the point is, it says the multitude, if you put it up again, multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And they didn't even have their own stuff. They put everything together. Well, that's the heart of that. We're supposed to be together, moving together to the degree, you know, we're on the same page, one heart, one soul, that it's not, if there's one, see, that's not this, it's not moving in different directions, it's moving one direction, all being on the same page, all being for the Lord. If we're submitted to God, you won't lie to somebody. If you're submitted to God, you're not going to talk bad about somebody. The congregation. If you're committed to God, you're not going to walk out of love with somebody. See, if we're committed to doing what the Lord would have us to do, it just takes care. You don't have to list a whole bunch of other stuff. You just start moving. You are submitted to God, so you're going to be submitted to one another. You're going to be in harmony. You're going to be walking in love. Do you understand? If Paul, through the Holy Spirit, told the Philippian church to do this, and in the Bible, the Word of God is to us, this is possible. The people will be like, well, that's a nice fairy tale. But we're in 2026. That's not possible. You can't get people on the same page like that. You can't get people just to go in the same direction and just be to where they're treating one another. Well, you know what people would say? They back up a minute. They would say that's not possible in a family. And we've been given lies for decades with media. You know, television used to be just like television and cable and stuff, but obviously you can get it in so many different ways. But before that, books that are called classics for, 100 years ago, not just 10 years ago, not 50, 100 years ago, more than that, hundreds of years ago. They're absolute trash, morally speaking. And they're called classics. People will try to have you to read these things, and they are garbage, morally speaking. They are putting a dysfunctional, immoral pattern in front of people and saying, it's not possible to live in harmony. This is just the way people are. You've got to, families are just broken. Well, people are just messed up. Oh, people do all kinds of stuff at an early age. You just can't stop it. You put that in front of people, generation after generation. You put it in the schools and have kids go, well, I didn't even know that existed, but I guess I'm supposed to be doing that. It corrupts society. And so over decades, now I remember when certain shows came out, TV shows, in the 90s, or maybe the 80s, 90s, just mocking Christianity, mocking godly things like, well, that's just prudish to just actually have a good home that functions. Just the portrait of just dysfunction and people at each other and people arguing and people undermining and, well, that's where the fabric of society has been undermined to where people, they don't think it's possible. They think if you see a home that's actually unified, that it's fake. Yeah. That it can't be done. The Bible tells us it can be. The Bible tells us we're supposed to be on that. And it's possible. If it's possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. But if we think it's just not possible, if we buy the lie that, well, nobody, nah, they're just being fake. Nobody is really, they don't love each other. They're just putting on. The Bible's fake then? See, when the corruption and the undermining has happened to where it puts portraits of complete dysfunction and discord and strife in a home where the wife completely trashes the husband and makes fun of him and he's such an idiot and the husband is saying all kinds of stuff about his wife and the kids don't respect the parents at all. And the parents throw the kids under the bus all the time and call them stupid and everything. And kids and parents have seen that in generations and they think it's just not possible to live in a home. If you really got in there, we know there's that because that's what we've been bought, or we've been told. It's a lie. But it's been put in society so much, so then what has happened with churches and congregations? Every time a minister falls, does something immoral, that is pasted over, you know, all types of we as a communication channels, you know, whether it's TV or social media or just internet or podcasts or whatever. And it makes it seem like there are no godly pastors. There are no godly congregations. A congregation can't function like that. And that basically all ministers are corrupt. That's not true. Should those things ever happen? No. No, they should. Not according to the Word of God. But it is undermined to where there is not a respect and there's not a honor for the church, for the things of God. in where we live in this day and age, it's kind of like it's there, but especially in the world, it's mocked. Like that's just backwards. And what do you hear about people? I'm not asking to answer, but you'll know what I'm saying. A classic thing that people will say over and over about church, they don't want to go to church, it's they're all a bunch of hypocrites. Implying that the church, like people are different because they tell everybody what to do, but they don't live like that. And that you hear all the time. People, I don't want to go to church, they're hypocrites. No, they're people. People shouldn't be judgmental. The fact is, you can call that to the church. You could say that outside the church. People are people, and they do dumb stuff at times. But that doesn't do away with the real. That doesn't do away with the fact that the Bible tells us these things, and it is possible to have a church that walks according to the Word of God and walks like the early church, where you have people that are pulling in the same direction, unified for the gospel, for the kingdom of God, and not just on these lines, on certain, like, well, we do that over here. Like, this is our rallying cry on these three things. It's not supposed to be like that. It's not a business. It's not like this is, it's supposed to be the Word of God, that when you look at it in Acts, that they're living according to the Word with everything they know according to the Bible, and moving forward together in unity in that, spreading the gospel, but not just spreading the gospel, living the gospel. Amen. In other words, all that corruption that's been played and been, you know, communicated over the decades, that standing up and being a model of what the Bible says. Because you know what? If we're just touting these other things but not living the other, people see right through that. You can't do that. You know that works in a business? I've been in multiple businesses. All the marketing you see, all the graphic design you see, people are doing that, but you're not seeing how those people live because that's not the product. And frankly, you or I do not care how your electronic device or whatever, or your car, that's not the product. It's how good is the product. It's not how the inner workings of the company work. But with the church, if you're going to tout this, we're nice to everybody, but you're not nice, that is the product. That's like saying the car works, but it breaks down in a week. And see, that doesn't work. And people see through that. That's where you get, this is just hypocrisy. Because you know why? You beat the drum over here and say, we're all about this. We do this. But that's not the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it includes that. The good news is we can be saved, but that's not the only truth in the Bible. Thank God, if you're not saved, you're going to hell. Thank God that we can believe on Him and be in the family of God, but that's not the only truth. We're supposed to live. Our families are supposed to look like what the Bible said. On the job, we're supposed to look like what the Bible said. And we're supposed to be together, walking in one mind and purpose, submitted to God, saying, yeah, yep, that's what the word, yep, that's what we're doing. We are coming together, being a representative of Him. And in one mind, one accord. That's what the early church did. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. It says, for as the body is one, talking about the human body, as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. It says all members are of that one body. In the Ephesians 4, verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up, talking about people in the church, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, verse 16, from whom the whole body, so talking about the body of Christ, the different members of the body of Christ, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working in which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So verse 16 says that the whole body, of course the body universal, talking about the body of Christ, but also a local body, joined and knit together. Well, if we're joined and knit together, I mean, your body is joined and knit together. My arm is joined and knit together, you know, my shoulder, the rest of my body. I don't want it going a different way. I want it joined and knit together. If it's ripped off, that's not a good thing. You want it together. The different parts are supposed to be together. If I can't have my body going this way and my arm going that way, that's really, really bad. And if there's enough force, if, you know, I'm trying to go, if my body's going this way, but my arm is caught on something, that's a gross picture. It's not going to end well. If your little finger... I know somebody that they had their wedding ring on and it got stuck in something and they don't have their complete finger today. Well, that was their little finger was trying to be over here. The body's going this way and well, the body, God is, he's comparing the body of Christ to our body and he's saying it's knit together. Well, your body's going in one direction. It's supposed to be working together. No, it's under the head, which is Christ, but that's the same way local bodies work. God works in structure, and we're supposed to be together. You don't have part of your body in Tewksbury and part of your body in Andover. That's, again, a bad thing. You got to back up to, like, how did that get there? One part was going in one way. Something happened. That's not what God would have us do. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that we see the day of his return drawing near. Let us think of ways to motivate and encourage one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. In other words, we're not supposed to just be isolated. We're supposed to be part of a group. But then seeing people go in one extreme, you know, thinking they should just be off by themselves. The Bible does not teach that. We're supposed to be together. But then, well, if we're together, it can't look like actual harmony. No, it can. We're supposed to be a group that's running together in life, not just getting together for a few minutes a week. We're supposed to be, this is the group that we're running together in life. That's of one mind. You saw the church, the early church, they were meeting together daily, eating. Well, you know, you don't think they had challenges? Of course they had chat. I mean, you don't think they ever were tempted to get out of in discord? Of course they were. They're people. But it still says they were working together. So we're working together. But it is possible. And Paul's not writing, and the gospel writers or the New Testament writers are not just writing to people for it not to be possible. God doesn't tell us to do things that aren't possible. They're possible according to the Word of God. We can live according to what the Word of God says if we'll do what the Word of God tells us to do. And so we're supposed to meet together to encourage one another. We're supposed to be, if you put that up again, verse 25, we're supposed to be, we already read, of one mind, one accord, but we're supposed to not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. And it says, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Well, if the day of return was drawing near then, I'd say we're a lot closer. Well, we know that, right? We know we're closer than ever. To be an encouragement. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Well, if you're going to speak the same thing, you're going to be on the same page thinking the same thing, of one accord, of one mind, one spirit, same thing, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Well, Paul's getting in here. He goes into this whole thing in 1 Corinthians where people are like, well, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of this, I'm of that. And he is just basically correcting him, saying, you're not supposed to be like that. Grow up. You're supposed to be of one mind. You're supposed to be walking together, being representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing the thing, doing what he told us to do. We are able to get together and actually be pulling in the same direction. It's possible. And it says not to have divisions among you. Well, like we said, if there's a division, it's pulling in a different way. It's a different, like, if you break it down like this, like die means two. So division is like die vision, two vision. If you're pulling this way, you're pulling away. If we go back to the soldier analogy, if the commander's saying do this and the soldiers are like, well, we got our own idea, that's not going to go well. What is it? It's division. It's pulling in two different ways. What is it? It's not being in one mind. This isn't something that's like a side thing. I mean, this is how the church should function. You can't be like, for a family, you can't be like, well, that's, you know, we're a good family. We don't get along. We argue all the time. We don't go in the, we can never get on the same page, but we're a good family. That is core, right? So us being, you stick out in 2026, walking together in unity and true love, in the same mind, same purpose, being submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not common. But all over the world, that's what the church is. The church, you go to a different country, if it's truly a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and truly believes the word of God, you could have communion with them. I'm talking fellowship, and just as if they lived in the same place you are, because you're on the same page according to the word of God. Amen. There isn't two churches. There's not eight. And it's like, well, that's a different type of church. If they are a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, see, a lot of stuff we've made up. We've just created it like, well, I operate like this. I operate like this. We got to be careful of that, because that will be divisive. And you know what it is? It's religion. And if any of us go, well, I know what you're talking about, Pastor Jim, but I don't have any religion in me. It's pretty sure bet that absolutely have religion in us then. If we say that. Religion, man-made religion, in other words, ways of doing stuff just because I think that's the way I think it should be done. That's made up a lot. That's religion. People, and we got to look at it. I remember Brother Hagin on a recording years ago, Kenneth E. Hagin Sr., talking about at one point in his ministry, him just spending a lot of time before the Lord praying. Fasted and prayed. And just at that point, just like, God, if I'm going to move forward in this next phase that you're telling me to move forward in, I got to know this is you, and I don't want it I can't do this in my own strength, so you got to help me. And he just spent time and he said, God showed him things in him. And he said, just spiritually speaking, like he could see it just coming out of him. And he goes, and like, what is that? Like he's just seeing it. There's stuff in him and he's looking at it. And like in one case, he said, that's your old tradition in this certain denomination. That's stuff you got to get rid of. It doesn't have any place in you. And if something else came up and, you know, he's like, God, what is that? And he said, that's this certain religion, your religious traditions in another area. And he just put it before the God, before the Lord and said, God, I don't want any of that. Get that. Just help me to identify it and move forward. And that's what a lot of this is. You know, and you just look at the world. People are about this or about this, or this is the way we got to do it. And none of that is in the Bible. It is, we're supposed to, no matter who you're with, what congregation you're a part of, if you're a part of a congregation, we're supposed, all these scriptures apply. We're in one accord. We're in harmony with looking to be representatives of the gospel on the earth. But the people we're running with, we are just in harmony with them. That is the picture. That is the goal. That is the vision of the church on the earth, is this body of believers that is doing the work, living the work on the earth, being representatives, no matter, not just when they're at church and then they go out and they meet somebody in the community and they're a completely different person, or at work and like, well, I believe this, and then at work, you know, don't show up for the job late, or not a good worker, or disagreeing all the time with the leadership. That is not representing the Lord Jesus Christ. That is actually a bad name. But it wouldn't matter if you were in Africa. It wouldn't matter if you were in Europe. It wouldn't matter if you're in China or the Philippines. The culture might look different the way people operate, but the core of what we're doing as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ looks the same. And if you had a true brother and sister in the Lord, you would be able to connect with them, and there could be that same harmony. I've met people from all over the world, and there's certain people who are like, okay, you're doing your own thing. And there's certain people you can see. They're just before God in their place, just walking that walk and just humble. And we can be like that with other people. And when we come together, so we say, God, where would you have me to be in a local congregation? Then that ought to be, that is the goal. That is the picture, is that we are operating in the fullness of what the Bible says, not leaving something else because, oh, that's going to offend somebody. What are you doing at that point? Well, I don't want to say, see, then that becomes this other thing over here. I've carved out a niche of what I think this church should be. You know, people will say, this is just boggles my mind, but this has happened for decades and it's proven to be wrong. People say, who's your target demographic? Who is the person, the actual person we're trying to meet? Like as a church. And there's churches over the years that have been geared toward a certain age group, a certain demographic. That is not the way the Bible looks. No, that doesn't look like the church of the Bible. You can't have unity. It's like, well, you all look like this. You're all this age and you're this status and socioeconomic, and we're going to target this. I that's not the way heaven's going to look. Heaven is all peoples. All nations, all tongues, all over the world. Amen. And living in harmony. And that's one thing I've appreciated. We have groups, we have people from all kinds of backgrounds, but we'll have, you know, a gathering and there are people all together in unity, together talking, and that does not happen. I mean, the world is trying to figure out different people groups, how to make that happen. You know, the way it happens is through the Lord Jesus Christ, for people having a heart for him and being looking to serve him. Then you put these other things aside and you're able to go forward unified. Amen. That's the only way. It's supernatural, but it's not automatic. It doesn't happen automatically. We decide that's how I'm walking. That's what I'm going to do. That is for me. See, that's not. There's no point in like thinking about how somebody else does stuff. We look at ourselves and go, okay, where am I in that? How am I with living my life according to these things? Look at Philippians 2:20 as we wrap up here. Look at what the Apostle Paul said later in Philippians. He's talking about Timothy. But he says, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own. So he's talking about Timothy being the person that he could send because he actually is with the Apostle Paul. Verse 20, for I have no one like-minded, just imagine that, who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Paul said that. He said, everybody, they're doing their own thing. He said, but Timothy will do it. Timothy, he's got the right mind. He's on the same page. He is of like mind. That's what we want to be like. Amen. There shouldn't just be one Timothy. We want to be like, I'm going to be that. If you look at Paul, imagine he's writing this to the Philippians. He goes, I don't have anybody that I can send. But Timothy's the only one that's really going to help. There's other people, they're doing their own thing. They're not seeking what is of Jesus Christ. In other words, they're not actually representing. And this is throughout, just a couple more scriptures as we close. Ephesians 4, verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. He's encouraged them, you keep the unity of the Spirit. And then in the ending of 2 Corinthians 13:11, it says, finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. He said this, we didn't have time to read all the different ones, but so many times, be of one mind, be of one spirit, be of one heart. Over and over talking about being united, being on the same page. Paul would say that. And that is not something that is unattainable as we're walking our Christian life. Whether it's in our personal life, our home, whether it's in church, we ought to bring it. Whatever we are at home, we ought to bring it to church. When we say to church, as we gather to the church, our lives are this. Our lives are coming together and walking in that unified mindset. And as we come together, we ought to say, yeah, we're pulling in the same direction. It's not about my own. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you're all pulling in the same direction, how much you can do. How much a family can do. How much a local congregation can do. It's not putting biblical things aside for some other direction. It is putting what the Word of God says into practice and moving forward with Him.